In verse 27, he says, what about boasting? Does anybody get to boast? Anybody get to brag? He says, no. It's excluded on the principle of what? The law? No, that of faith. And then he says, well, what about the Jews? Is God the God only of the Jews? Is he not the God of the other nations as well? The Gentiles? Yes, of the other Gentiles as well. And then he says, well, what about the law? Does this righteousness by faith then nullify the law? He says, no, we don't nullify it. We uphold the law. And now he wants to talk about... they can just control this from the back, the slides, because I can't control it from up here. He said, we have a couple of character witnesses who are going to testify that this righteousness by faith comes, is by faith and not by the law. And so he's going to call out Abraham and David. The title is Abraham's Promise, David's Blessing, and God's Plan. And we're going to go through Romans 4, verses 1 through 12. Let's read it. You follow as I read it. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited as a gift, but an obligation. However, to the man who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are covered, are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. This is out of Psalm 32. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised? This is Paul's question. Or is it also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. But under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. Now, this is Paul's argument. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he's a father of all who believe but have not been circumcised in order that the righteousness might be credited to them. And he's the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised but also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. And by circumcision, he doesn't mean simply the operation. He means the Jewish people and the non-Jewish people. So he's saying the circumcision represents the Jewish people and the non-circumcision represents the rest of the Gentiles. Gentiles simply means all the nations that are not Israel or not the Jews. The next slide. We're going to consider Abraham's promise. Now, this is not a promise that Abraham makes. This is a promise what? That God makes to Abraham. And to do that, we have to look back in Genesis 15. Now, in the bulletin, you'll see that there's some things written inside. Some of you like to write things down. And so if you'd like to, you can open the bulletin and fill in the blanks. If you don't like to do that, if that's distracting to you, don't open the bulletin. Ignore it, and you can just pay attention. But some people like to fill this out. The first blank would be that he was not justified by works. That's the first blank. But let's read Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. Abram, I'm your shield, your very great reward. This happened just after chapter 14 when his nephew Lot was captured along with the people of Sodom, and Abram had to go and rescue him. And they had a mighty victory, but now he's thinking maybe there will be repercussion. Maybe there will be a revenge attack against him. So he's worried. Also, he would not receive any reward from the king of Sodom. He gave all of that away. And now God says, I will protect you, and I am your reward. That sounds good. But Abraham says, but Lord, what can you give me since I am childless? I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is my servant, Eliezer of Damascus. You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. He's saying, where's this promise? It hasn't shown up yet. You haven't given it yet. And then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. I wished he had said, and also from the body of Sarah, because something happens a little bit later that causes problems. But yeah, from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. I want you to think of that. He takes him outside. The Lord's talking to him. He takes him outside and he says, look up. Look up in the sky. Count the stars. That's how many of your descendants there will be. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? And now the Lord says it in different ways. He says, as many as the sand on the seashore. That's a lot, right? Have you tried counting them? As many as the dust of the earth. Now, is he saying this is a strict mathematical number? Does that mean the dust and the sand and the stars all have the same number? No. What does he mean? More than you can count. That's a big, big number. Okay, the next one. So, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but an obligation. How many of you have jobs? They pay you? Or is it just fun? Some of you I know work at the restaurant and you get to drink free coffee or eat bagels or something like that. But do they pay you, right? And when payday comes around, maybe every week, every 2 weeks, however it is does the boss say, here's a gift for you? Or do you earn it? You earn it. It's an obligation. In fact, if he didn't pay you, would you have a legal right to get what is coming to you? Yes, it's an obligation. But a gift is not an obligation. Now, some people get confused about this, especially when it comes to birthdays and Christmas and stuff like that. They think it's an obligation. Next slide, please. Now, the words that they use here, credited or counted, these are legal terms either in an accounting journal. You owe this much money, you have this many debits, or you have this many credits, or what's in a court, the official language of a court saying this person is guilty, this person is not guilty, this person is guilty and he has to pay this fine or he has to pay this penalty. These are legal terms. And so we'll find this language scattered throughout the situation. Next. Now let's consider David. He said Abraham was one example, and now this is David. What did David find out of Psalm 32? He says in verse 5, the man who does not work but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. What is he saying? This man is not working and he's not getting what he earned but he's asking God to justify what kind of man? The wicked or the ungodly. Someone who's not doing the things that God wants. This man's faith is credited as righteousness. And then David agrees when he's in Psalm 32. He says, it's not by works. Why? It's not by works. The next verse shows us. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. If David were being paid for what he had done, he realized he had broken God's law. And what's the payment for doing that? The wages of sin is death. Now, here's a question. So, what do you want? If you want God to write down in his official book righteousness. Do you want that righteousness be on the basis of how well you've kept his law? A, or a wage earned by works? Or B, a gift received by faith? Or do you like copay? 50-50, 80-20, something like that. What's the right answer? Or what's the answer you want? Do you want God to grade you on your works? Or a copay? No, the answer is a gift received by faith. That's what Paul is saying all the way through the book of Romans, that the righteousness is a gift of God, a promise of God, and it's given to those who believe in God's promise. Now let's consider God's plan. We considered Abraham's promise and David's blessedness. Now let's consider God's plan. When God credited righteousness to Abraham, was he circumcised? Was Abraham circumcised? No. Paul says this is very important. Were the circumstances and timing of this event significant? Now we have to ask ourselves a hermeneutical question, an interpretative question here. Was this just clever interpretation on the part of Paul, or was this the plan of God from the very beginning? Did God control Abraham's circumstances in such a way that he gave him a promise while he was uncircumcised so that he would represent everyone who's uncircumcised who believes in God the same way Abraham did? Yes, Paul is saying that's what God did. This is very significant. This is the plan of God. He represents all people. And notice, he's not saying that the sign of circumcision is unimportant. He said Abraham received the sign of circumcision in verse 11, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith from before when he had been uncircumcised. Now, how old was Abraham when God first told him, leave your family, go to the land I'll show you, I'll bless you, make your name great, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you? How old was he? Do you know? He was old. He was 75. Now, he didn't seem to have the same health record that we have because he lived to be 175. So he lived 100 more years, okay? But he lived that long, and 13 years into this, he still doesn't have any children. And God makes him this promise in Genesis 15:6. It'll be from your body. Well, a little bit later, Sarah says, you know what, this isn't working. Try to have a child through my handmaid. Well, unfortunately, that worked. Okay? And then later, God says, I want you to do circumcision. Abraham was 99 years old, and Ishmael was 13 years old when this happened. So how many years is that? That's a long time, right? So this promise came 13 years later, and then the last one came 24 years later. The sign and seals are important, but they came after faith. Do you think that's significant, the timing of that? Do you think that's significant or not significant? It's very significant. We're going to see why, because we're going to apply it to ourselves in just a minute. So signs and seals are important to the individual in the church. But it has to be based on faith. The next one. Do we have some signs and seals here in our church? Baptism. And? Communion. We're going to do communion today. These come after faith, after you've believed in God's promise, but they're important to do. We have baptism and communion. Now, some always say, well, you don't have to be baptized. Remember the thief on the cross. Let's look at him. The thief on the cross. Anybody heard this story? How many thieves were on the cross? Some people say three. Because Jesus comes like a thief in the night to steal away all of Satan's dominion. Yeah, there were two thieves on the left and on the right. And Luke brings out that they're, you know, they're cursing and swearing, and they're so upset of their obvious terrible situation. But then one of them says to the other, stop saying that. Stop talking against him. Can't you see he's a righteous man? He's a good man. Then he turns to the Lord and he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what's the Lord Jesus say to him? You today will be with me in paradise. And so these two people were there. The Romans crucified a whole lot of people, and sometimes there were many crosses there. But that day there were three. There were three people up there. The Lord Jesus Christ and two sinners on the cross dying for their own sins because they're guilty. Now, do you think that's significant? Wouldn't it make any difference if there are four or five or just one, Jesus by himself? But there's three crosses, and there's two thieves. And the two thieves, one of them says, one of them believed in Christ, and he was given the promise that his sins were forgiven and he'd be with Christ in paradise. And the other one did not believe. He died in his sins, and he died in condemnation. Now, the thief in the cross, was he baptized? No. But you know what? He's got a good excuse. And so, if you have faith in Christ, you should be baptized. And if you haven't been baptized, I don't think your excuse is as good as this one. But the sign, the seal comes afterwards. So you need to be baptized. If you're a believer in Christ, you need to be baptized. And then the other sign is what we're going to do today. It's a sign that you have received the gift of righteousness that Christ gave us by his death. Do you understand that? What we're doing here is a reminder. Do this in remembrance of me. This is not receiving Christ. We are not giving Christ out in little pieces, and you're getting saved incrementally as you take more pieces of Christ. It's a reminder of what Christ did once for all on the cross. What did he say on the cross? It is finished. The work of Christ is finished. The work of salvation is finished. We saw that last time in Romans 3, where God passed over sins unpunished. Why? Because they were punished here at the cross on Jesus Christ. He took the sins of the world. He's the propitiation for all the sins. So, we have some questions in there. Paul says this blessing, the gift of righteousness given to Abraham when he was uncircumcised, is for everyone. You don't have to be a Jew to receive this. It's for everyone. But what do you have to do? You have to personally receive it. If you haven't received it, it's up to you if you will receive it. And today would be a good day to receive that gift, to say, I want to believe just like Abraham did, just like God, like David did. Receive from God, not based on how well I've done, how much credits and debits I have, that I'm going to end up with more credits than debits on my account. No. Based as a gift of what God has given. And the gift is received because it's a promise. The gift is received by faith. How many of you, if you haven't, today would be the day you'll say, I want to receive that gift. The gift that Christ offers me, the death of what he took in my place. That would be a good thing. And if you do that, I'd like you to talk to me afterwards. And then now when we take the communion, I want us to remember what Christ has done for us. So if we could have the men come up.